Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pep Talks. I'm Eddie Pepitone, and with me is Steve Lally. Steve, say hello.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. We're live. We're live on my Facebook fan page, and welcome to my Facebook fan page, folks. And as you can see, we are in the ATC studios again. I think I've got my shit more together. Last week, I was crazed about opening a one-man show called In the End of Days about living in the apocalypse in L.A. And you guys should come see it, by the way. It's at the Lyric Hyperion Theater. It's May 8th and 9th. That we added a couple of dates. And I was just crazed.
Yeah.
Because I get so nervous putting on one-man shows. I perform all the time as a stand-up. But one-man shows is like I'm doing all these characters, and I'm like, I got to memorize all these lines, and I came here.
How many characters do you play in that one-man
Seven.
Show? Yeah, you were definitely, when you picked me up the day before the day of the podcast, the day before the one-man show,
before.
You were definitely in one of your end days characters. You were definitely fully immersed in
what
one of the...
What did I do that day? What did I do?
That you
day.
Don't remember that is great. Well, first of
well,
all,
I was
you,
in a I was you, in a I was in a performing blackout when you people put on a one man show. And see, if you don't go into what's called a day before blackout. Go ahead.
So Eddie had me tried to have me jaywalk across Magnolia Boulevard, across six, 7 lanes of traffic.
Now, Steve has had some unfortunate jaywalking incidents. So when I said, come over here. And this was me in my performance blackout. He was like, no, I'm going to cross at the light. And I was like,
there's no traffic. There's nobody coming.
There's no traffic.
I'm from New York. What the fuck is wrong with you? Meanwhile, there's a woman trying to parallel park right in front of where I'm standing on the curb.
Oh,
and
God.
She's looking at me like, dude, are you going? Are you? What are you doing? And I've got Eddie going, what the fuck is wrong? And So I went over to the, I forced him. Mm-hmm. I went over to this crosswalk. But that was the beginning. Then I got in the car and you had the heavy classical music playing,
classical?
Yeah.
By the way, I play classical music in my car. Does that mean I'm better than you? I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Because if I'm not mistaken, most of the people watching this don't even know who Richard Wagner is. He was the head of the Nazi party.
That's what was playing on Eddie's radio when I got in the car. It was a heavy classic.
He was not the head of the Nazi party. He was not the head of the Nazi party, but Wagner's... Wagner. Emma, did you turn down my was I too loud there? Have I been too loud?
You're good.
That was such an interesting go for me.
I am going to yell occasionally because that's how I get engaged.
That was amazing. You went from a figure of authority to being reprimanded,
That's life, isn't it, folks? That we go from being authoritarian to getting reprimanded. Like I want my coffee now, and then you,
okay
and then
to two get second, my coffee now.
Then 2 seconds later, you're like, please. Can I please get it? Because I'm not well.
You're trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson, aren't you?
How come you said that?
Oh, because he's telling her and then he's uncertain,
Oh, yeah, Benjamin.
Yeah.
That movie is called The Graduate. Steve often goes back to that movie. By the way, you were telling me, and this is, I'm not dating anymore. I am married. But Steve is dating, and he got a coffee and tea the other day, and it cost $17.
Yeah, $17. I couldn't believe it.
And Steve can't afford to date right now.
No, and this is why men, I'm not going to go to a very blue place, but this is what she asked me on her way out. To be credit to her, she said, I got it. It's a tea and a coffee. She goes, are you sure? She goes, are you sure? I said, yeah, it's a tea and a coffee. I didn't know how much it was. The woman hadn't mm-hmm. brought, we sat down. I didn't know.
Oh, see, she was so nice.
She was very nice, very nice. But see, now I haven't reached out to her.
Now, what Steve didn't say is that he went out with Madeleine Albright. And Albright, not the greatest, politics, but, Albright is a bit feisty, and you went out with her, and she offered to pay for the tea.
Look,
you only date people in the former Secretary of State.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Listen,
If I think it would be funny if the woman in question was Madeleine Albright. So sue me.
I'm trying to get pussy from Madeleine Albright. That's where I'm at in my life. Listen, if you go into a coffee shop, a place that specializes in coffee and tea,
yeah.
and the place is really big and it's really well lit and they are waiters and waitresses, you should expect, and it's in Westwood where nobody can afford to park, you should expect... Westwood Village, by the way.
Oh, Westwood Village.
Yeah. If you go
get... Westwood Village is this little, you know, where all the pieces of shit have their coffee. What I mean by pieces of shit are people who've made it. Okay, go ahead.
Or had it given to them. Or had it given
or
to
inherited.
Them. Or inherited.
Or inherited yeah. their wealth. Me and Steve were salt of the earth. Which the translation of that is we don't have anything. And we crawl along the earth begging God for forgiveness. Whereas people in Westwood Village are like, fuck you. Bring me the fucking buttered. I can think of is pound cake and buttered rolls.
And by the way, I'd like to add to that. The only reason that we're here and you're listening to us is because someone in society had an innate respect for insanity. That's the only reason we're here.
Someone in society
in
had
my
an
case,
innate respect.
It's him.
But anyway, so Westwood Village is like a little piece of shit area in L.A. where everybody comes trundling down from their estates, from their gated estates. Man. And they're like, yes. Now, what's really funny is that I cannot think of like a modern day pastry like because I'm vegan. And that's, again, not to brag. That I have that kind of commitment to a cause or commitment to sustainability, commitment to compassion. However you want to live, it's fine. Just know that you're going to die in a huge firestorm of eco-catastrophe or your children. But go ahead.
Speaking of vegan sandwiches, by the way,
I just kid the unenlightened. Which are you folks?
You were going to make a point about Westwood Village, and I want to hear that.
Yeah, well, no. Just that everybody, you know, that it is kind of a very she.
Well, it's UCLA, USC, UCLA. I mean, we were talking about on the way
yes.
over here. These colleges that are just hustles. They're just fucking hustles. And you know what? What the thing about colleges is you go to meet the other people who are running shit. That's all really college is about.
Oh, it's a networking place?
I think so. Yeah.
Whatever happened to getting an education at college? Like college used to be about the humanities. College used to be about reading, Voltaire, Sartre, Dostoevsky, Turgenev, Tolstoy.
William Burroughs.
Which one doesn't fit? Which one doesn't fit? If you said
when I was in college, that's what they were reading. Okay, different generation.
William Burroughs was basically a heroin addict.
Yeah, he was.
Who like wrote about his hallucinations, like Naked Lunch.
Basically, yeah.
I was a big Beats guy. I love Kerouac and Ginsberg and all those guys. And I know what you folks are thinking. My God, it's such a literate podcast. No, it's not. I barely read those people I mentioned. Barely, hardly ever read Tolstoy. I tried Anna Karenina, didn't like her.
Why would you do that when you could get the Cliff's Notes or the, you know?
Oh, Cliff Notes are for idiots, as I look into the crowd.
Aye.
But so Westwood Village, yeah. No, college is being a hustle is very true. It used to be a place where you would go to get really educated, but now it's like, I'm going to college so I can work for this company and make so much money. Right?
Ever since Reagan, right? I mean, Reagan really made it vogue to make it, to get over, to get more than your neighbor.
Are you saying
he made it sexy? Like he turned it into a vogue.
Are you saying when did our country lose its fucking soul?
I should be asking you because you have better perspective than I.
Not really. When did a country lose its soul?
Yeah, when did it?
I don't know. The 80s,
that's
maybe.
Probably.
I don't know. You know? I mean, Hollywood's great period of films was the 70s. There's a great book, by the way, called Raging Bulls.
An Easy
Rider. And it's all about like the crazy period in Hollywood making all those movies in the 70s, you know?
Right.
All those great films.
Yeah, yeah. They can make them in
Where are they now? I mean, Amy Schumer has a movie coming out now called, what is it?
I Feel Pretty.
I Feel
you
Pretty.
You just wanted me to say that. You just wanted to get me to say that.
He said, I feel pretty. Isn't that funny? Yeah. So that's all you need to know about our civilization is the movie I Feel Pretty. And it's a billboard. Like, you ever drive in L.A., folks? You ever drive in L.A.?
That was another thing on the way to your one-man show. On the day before your one-man show with the heavy classical music, after you got me to jaywalk almost, we're driving and you go, and that fucking Amy Schumer, that fucking shit. You see this shit? And I'm going to get her in my one-man show. And you didn't. You didn't. You let me down.
I forgot.
Hiked up fucking Silver Lake.
And what it is, it's just, you know, comedy. Comedy in quotes that really isn't comedy, you know. I mean, we were talking about toothless comedy. Like, there aren't – like, nobody – we were talking about, like, the Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly stepbrothers where, I'm stupid. Oh, I'm stupider. Like, dumb and – like, that. Those movies are okay. It's okay to enjoy – and believe me, you know, you folks need a lot of diversions. It's okay to enjoy yourself, right? But you, but these days, when half the country is in fucking dire poverty and people are just hanging on tooth and nail, if you're going to make a comedy, you know, fucking have some teeth to it. You know, like go after the powers that be. One movie I did promote here was The Death of Stalin, and that had some teeth to it, and that's a great political satire. But I wish someone would make the great American satire,
you know,
instead of all this shit like bromances and
you know, you can't have
Amy
a comedy
Schumer
now.
Movies.
You can't have a comedy now if it doesn't have a fucking wedding in it. It's got to have a fucking wedding in it. Have you noticed that? Every fucking comedy that gets released in a movie theater, somewhere in the movie, there's a wedding.
Or
it's centered around a wedding. What the fuck is that?
Well, let's go to – now, we have a bunch of sponsors here. And Matt Rossomato, our producer, he's very good at writing these commercials. And let's go to one of our sponsors right now. This one is the Nourish Paleo Bakery and Amazon, okay? Nourish Paleo Bakery is your one-stop shop for 100% vegan baked goods. No wheat, animal products, or sugars are used in the processing of our delicious baked goods. Now, it doesn't sound very good, does it, folks? No sugar, no wheat, no animal products, but they're still good. For all our fellow vegans out there, you can join Nourish Paleo Bakery in celebrating its partnership with Amazon. And simply follow these steps, and they're pretty easy. I did it the other day. Log on to your Amazon Prime account and click the Let's Go Paleo banner at the top of the screen. Enter your social security number and click the I Am Not a Robot button. Fill out a quick survey about your favorite type of overlord, robotic, animatronic, or faceless digital voice. Finally, wait 3 to 7 days for one of Amazon's drones to hunt you down and strip away your humanity. At Nourish Paleo Bakery, we love Amazon and don't mind being part of the collective. Hey, Alexa, take anything that could give me pleasure or a desire to go on out of my shopping cart. Nourish Paleo Bakery. Thank you. They're a great paleo bakery, and that Amazon makes it so easy with those, you know, 4 or 5 steps. So thank you. Thank you. The world has turned from a place to, you know, I was talking to a great comic yesterday. I don't want to mention his name because I don't know if he would want me to, but a great comic. And I said, is there any more fucking art in Hollywood? And he said, very little. And I agree. And also what he talked about was how all these big Hollywood movies now, in order to make money, they have to sell these movies to China.
Right.
You know this?
Right, yeah, I do.
Well, talk about it then.
Well, I'm waiting.
These people are waiting to hear about the Asian markets. No, I mean, they cost so much fucking money that we don't have, I guess, enough moviegoers, enough idiots to go to these pieces of shit.
Well, the budgets are so inflated out of fucking proportion and out of control.
What drives up the
It was for a long time, it was the stars, you know, they would want, you know, fucking
By the way, what's hilarious
dollars.
About these movies is that the stars make a tremendous amount of money.
And everybody else makes
scale.
Yeah.
More or less.
Well, think
but
about
even
it,
though the residuals
everybody
were great.
Wants to be in a movie. I mean, everybody yeah. wants to, you know, Andy Warhol said 15 minutes of fame. I mean, people will be yeah. anything that leads to fame.
Were you into Warhol? Let me ask you that.
No, I thought he was kind of goofy, but now I'm starting to think he really had some intuitive, free futuristic, like intuitive shit.
Why do you think in hindsight did Warhol have something to say? In hindsight.
In hindsight,
saying.
Meaning why didn't I know then? Is that
no,
what
why do you think now?
Because I'm watching people, I'm watching this.
I know why you didn't know then.
DK.
Because you were a fucking
That's a compliment just coming from you. I appreciate that.
No, but
I'm looking at all these people who are people just want to be seen. They just want to be in the public eye. I mean, look at serial killers. It's going in this direction that anyone who's a serial killer can. We have shows about serial killers. I mean, I'm not a censorship guy.
Well, we have a lot of shows about serial
killers. Yeah, I'm not a censorship guy, but that's one thing that really irks me. It's not the most sophisticated, creative people getting elevated. It's these. You know, it's kind of like, look, you're a schmuck at home. I'm going to show you another schmuck, and it's going to what that's going to say to you is you could be on TV. You're a schmuck. Here's a schmuck like you.
Are you talking about reality TV?
Anything. Any Will Ferrell retard falls on the prize, you know, a boring symbol of diversity helping corporations sell credit cards, you know, whatever the fuck it is, whether it's
Have been dumbed down. We really have been dumbed down. And the phrase that came into my head, which is not a good phrase, it's not grammatically good, but mediocre to death, like mediocrity.
Oh, I was the one.
Is shoved down, you what?
Mediocrity raised to the levels of critical praise.
Mediocrity raised to the level of critical praise. And what's hilarious is that we don't know what's good anymore. We do if we see it, but like we're sort of like, oh, that's good. And then it's gone. Like Death of Stalin was good. Death of Stalin good. That's good. Where the other good
Something
stuff?
New. They want new. No,
but there's so much. Yeah.
But if you got a big movie.
Me?
Yeah.
Then I would sell out immediately.
Massively fucking huge.
I would be the spokesperson for anything. I would be, just so I could have a house away from beeping. No, I'm tired of being the artist. Okay? I just want a house now away from beeping trucks. I want to live in Westwood Village and trundle down to a coffee shop and go, hello, Al. Like I'll know the barista's names and I'll call them baristas. That's my New York accent, baristas. I'll call them baristas and be like, hello, Al. Can you make the macchiato with the coconut milk phone? And can you draw me today a picture of the Boxer Rebellion on there? Just kidding. Just draw me the usual kiss
with a heart. As Al whispers to Becky, that's the guy who used to be funny. Remember that guy? He was really funny. I don't know what happened to him. He must have had something
that's
terrible.
That's Eddie Pepitone.
Happened.
He used that's to be him. Funny before he made a lot of
His
money.
Face doesn't change expression now. What is that all about?
I've had some work done, Al. Can you tell?
It's called $200 million in the bank account.
By the way, Al, I live up in the hills here and...
I'm a curator.
I'm a curator. We were talking about curators last week. I do remember that. Like, how do you become a curator?
I don't know.
You know, what kind of lifestyle? Like just how genteel... that lifestyle is. How funny would it be if curator was a blue-collar type job? Like, all right, look, I'm curating all the dinosaur bones. Now, where the hell is my airbrush? Like a guy who...
Andrew Dice Clay as a curator. That's good shit, man.
Hey, no, Andrew Dice Clay would be, fucking... Well, first of all, before I curate this shit, I want a sandwich. We have another. I'm going to let you read the next. We have another commercial written by Matt Rossomato, our producer.
Who writes great commercials, by the way.
This one is called Brown Label is Back.
Oh, it's my favorite. It's second to Cream Condom.
Please enjoy all our commercials.
If you love the flavor of food that's been left out in the sun, Brown Label has some good news for you. After a series of class action lawsuits, and a series of arrests, we're excited to announce we are able to deliver goods to 7 U.S. states. Although, contractually, with our settlement, we are not allowed to transport goods across 39 other states.
That's a lot of states.
Our company might be downsizing.
No, but you know, can I just say, I want to interrupt that. That's a lot of states, but they're still in business and they're still doing a good job.
That's right. They are. Brown Label is doing a good job. Brown Label, that company might be downsizing, but it doesn't mean they skimp on flavor. Imagine the healthiest grocery items, hand-selected from the finest dumpsters Las Vegas nightclubs have to offer, arriving at your door after weeks of heavy enforced governmental scrutiny and back-channel bribery. Brown Label founder Fletch Brown says, quote, "I can't believe I avoided jail time just because I like the president's tweets. The system is beyond broken. Order Brown Label today." No, seriously, you have to order today. We have a bunch of lawsuits coming in, and it does not look good. Brown Label, get it while it lasts.
No, seriously, you have to order today. That's how I would have read it, but that's Steve's read. I also want to say that we have this voicemail for you guys to leave messages. Nothing this week. What the fuck is up with you people? Last week, we had a few.
We had three.
We had a few, but are you shy? Do you not have any comments? Or is the poor, am I that delusional that I think there are people listening and there are not? Am I like the king of comedy? Did you ever see that movie with Scorsese?
That's fucking
De Niro?
Rupert Pumpkin,
where he thinks he's a comedian and he kidnaps Johnny Carson.
And by the way, he kills.
Played by Jerry Lewis.
He kills on The Tonight Show at the end of the movie, though. That was the greatest part. He goes on The Tonight Show and he fucking kills it.
Did he kill it?
He did kill it. Yeah,
I don't
he
know.
Fucking
really?
Killed it.
Okay, that one you should watch, King of Comedy. It's an interesting movie. It's a little departure for Scorsese in the sense that – and Sandra Bernhard had her 15 minutes.
Yes, she did.
Speaking of 15 minutes. Now, here's the number if you guys want to call, leave a message, leave a comment. There were a couple of assholes the last couple of weeks, though, who I just had to delete them because – you know, they were just assholes. So, you know, try to say something intelligent. And there were some intelligent things. Anyway, or funny things or just love. But, you know, the assholes, don't leave a message. Just do what you do as an asshole, which is self-loathe. Okay, so here's the number. So if you want to leave us a message, 424-262-0904. That's 424-262-0904. Leave us a message and comment. We'll read it on the air. And we'll talk about it, you know, if it's a question, you know.
Like we do every time.
Like we do every time. That's our – by the way, I just want to recommend a coffee. This has nothing to do, you know. Has anyone out there tried Heartfuck coffee? Heartfuck coffee. It is just like the name sounds. A couple of sips – and your heart is fucked. You ever make coffee that's so like too strong? Do you make your own coffee?
I get the jitters. I start to shake and get the jitters and heart palpitations, and then I know I'm in the right. I don't actually drink coffee. I just drink tea.
So, oh, you don't?
No,
drink coffee.
I don't drink coffee because it makes me you know unhinged.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I should probably not drink coffee. You know, I'm serious because I have panic attacks sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe,
not related.
Oh,
but I have anxiety. But in the morning, I like that initial okay, I'm up.
So it's a psychological thing.
It's
you
psychological.
Don't even physically fucking need it, Eddie. That's what you're basically saying. You actually
It feels physical. It feels
are
physical.
Are you one of these people in the morning
yes.
who go in a coma
tired.
For fucking half hour? If you know?
I'm pretty comatic.
See, because I'm up and I'm up. I don't need it. I'm
really?
Yeah, dude.
I don't think that's healthy. Right, folks? It's not healthy to be up. Like, who the hell wakes up feeling like, okay, let's start the day? To me, you have to wake up going, oh, no. Oh, God.
No, man.
Oh, God. I just can't face this day.
Dude, what's going on with you, man? Life seems like your life seems okay. You seem like everything's
no,
fine.
My relationship to life is very fear-based. Very fear-based.
Well, that's unfortunately, but for us, it's very funny watching you be terrified. It's fucking hysterical.
I'm terrified. And then the flip side of fear for me is rage. Like, well, there's a couple of sides of it. Don't let anyone ever tell you. Well, the flip side, because there's a lot of sides to things.
It's called Yetzer Hara in mystic Judaism.
What's it called?
Yetzer Hara, this evil inclination, these different personalities of ours that come out and try to divert us from doing what we're supposed to do.
I feel like you're shoving Judaism down my throat. Every fucking podcast. No.
That's another side of it.
You were brought up. It sounds like you like have a good community of like getting raised Jewish.
Yeah, I mean,
my mother was Jewish. My mom died. Yeah, she was Jewish, and my dad's Sicilian, still alive. He's 86 now. Which reminds me, I'm going to New York. Everybody, I'm going to be at the Colony Theater. I'm going to be at the Colony Theater. Please come and see me. It's April. Are you laughing at the begging?
This is the begging.
Yeah. Please come and see me. April 29th. If you're in the Woodstock, I'm going to be in Woodstock, New York. Woodstock, it's such a fucking cool place. And if you live in New Paltz or anywhere upstate, Saugerties, it's a beautiful – or even drive up. It's only 2 hours and it's beautiful up there from New York. Drive up from the city. Come and see me at the Colony Theater, really cool theater, April 29th. Go to their website, the Colony Theater, Google Eddie Pepitone at the Colony, and see me April 29th at 8 p.m.
Little Rock, Arkansas.
I'm really looking forward to it because I had 80% of the door.
Well, how many seats? Like 17, 20?
No, I think it's a couple hundred.
Wow.
So if you guys come there,
a couple grand. Man.
Well, if people come.
Yeah.
And by the amount of phone calls this week, I'm not sure.
You sell out everywhere you go. Stop. You sold out the Punchline how many times? Did you sell out
the Punchline? Yeah. Well, sold out is a strong word.
It wasn't sold out.
No.
Either it was or wasn't.
It was good. No. It was good crowds. But I sold out in a couple of nights, no.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. You have a different view of what my career is, I think.
That's why you like me.
Yeah. You think I'm really hot shit.
But I think you're great. You know,
right. We know I'm good, but as far as
I don't
acceptance
have
by the general public.
Yeah, but here's my point. If you got a movie, okay,
yeah.
Let's say a $20 million movie, which is not a big for Hollywood, it's not a big budget movie.
How much do these fucking? No, I'm talking about a comedy.
A comedy? Well, a comedy.
$20 million sounds like a lot to me.
But The Hangover, nobody knew those people. They were not all stars. Maybe a $30 million movie. If you got a movie like that, you would be running circles around all these other comedians, and the comedians who are coming up would suddenly go, "I want to be like Pepitone."
Right.
But because it's all about
the
fame.
A lot of comics want to be like Pepitone. A lot of them say that. You're my hero and all that. And then they wind up on The Tonight Show. And then I'm like, hey, remember me?
That really it should happen.
No, I don't know. I'm just trying to riff it.
It's fear-based, folks. It's fear-based.
But yeah, my relationship with life, like you don't have that. And maybe because of your Judaic upbringing.
That's only the last couple of years. Yeah, I was.
Only the last couple of years you've gotten into it?
I hated being Jewish.
How come last couple of years?
Well, I mean, I was bar mitzvahed. I was in it. Wait, you're Italian Jew?
Yes.
That means you never know whether to steal or buy wholesale. So that was my first joke that my uncle told me. That was the first joke I ever
told. Folks, these are the kind of jokes you can expect at a Steve
Lally
show.
But it's a great fucking thing that we're both. So,
well, Woody Allen also did an Italian Jewish joke, which was like, first I bargain with you, then I kill you, or something like that, similar.
That's even worse. The delivery was terrible. I don't know what the fuck. Anyway.
I just rewatched Annie Hall, speaking of like – good movies.
Speaking of
back in the day,
I'm standing with the cast of The Godfather. You know, with the hands of Ann Keaton's there, and she was in The Godfather. That's great. Anyway, yeah. So I grew up Jewish. I threw it away. I was boring and corny, and you know, and I didn't want to be in that Jewy. I didn't want to be Jewy. You know? And then I read that last couple of years. I found a synagogue and. I go,
so you, to me, the people who go back to their faith, quote unquote, have crises. Like, did you have a crisis?
I did. Yeah.
Hold it. Did you hear the way Steve said? Hold it. I'm gonna do Steve's voice when I said, "Did you have a crisis?" And he goes, "Yeah, I did."
Dude, the delivery, like, the fucking delivery, man.
I think at a point of crisis, we want to read a. We want
always at the high points.
We
want to
read
have a sponsor.
A sponsor thing. Okay, We have another sponsor thing, and I'm going to read this one. Oh, I love this sponsor. This is a great sponsor, and it's Luxury Auto Cath, and this one is XL. Luxury, style, power. Like me, you are a man of action with a thirst for success. You make business your business, and you won't let anything slow you down, not even the business of changing your catheter. Luxo brand automotive catheters are the only robotic catheter service that installs directly under the dashboard of your luxury automobile. Our laser-guided robot arm can install a fresh catheter with the gentle persistence of a hyena chewing off its own leg. But not everybody is built the same, and as any veteran catheter user can tell you, after frequent use, the urethra could end up looking like the mouth of an old sock. Luxo AutoCath now comes in extra wide for the most discriminating of penile openings. Our new extra wide catheters are gently coaxed into the genitals using our patented wood screw motion at over 900 RPMs. Simply turn on the ignition to your luxury automobile and let the robotic arm do the rest. At Luxo Brand Auto Catheters, we have a wide range of catheters to match your pee hole, one way or another. At Luxo, the future is wow. I love them. They're great. I mean, you just install this. I have one. I have one under in my Honda Element. It's a catheter. It just installs under the dashboard and goes right into my penis, and it's great. And I just drive, and it actually cuts down on road rage, because when you yell, it hurts with the Luxo Auto Cath in.
You know, I've heard that you can actually get the catheter that will convert your urine into fuel for the vehicle.
That is the Water World. the Water World version, yes, and written by Matt Rossimato, who writes our commercials, and good for him.
I like that Clint Eastwood reading of the commercial, by the way.
I tried.
Where the fuck did
that
come
from? You could tell that. That's why I don't book voiceovers, because I always fuck up words. Eddie, they go to me things like the voiceover people are like, Eddie, just listen to what you said, and they have me listen. You said America instead of America, America. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I have a pair? Like, I asked them for a pair. Please see my one-man show, folks, at the Lyric Hyperion, May 8th and 9th in Silver Lake in Los Angeles. It's going to be a great show.
It was a big hit. It was a big hit. I was there.
Steve was there. He saw the opening.
Yeah.
And you could tell I'm much more relaxed, right?
Oh, man. That's like a guy, like a 12-year-old losing his virginity.
That's a frightening thing.
Yeah.
To lose your virginity at 12, I think.
Oh, no.
Like a piano instructor. wait, get away from me.
Are you kidding me? I would love that. My piano instructor was pretty hot.
Oh, really? Yeah. You had a piano instructor?
I had piano lessons, yeah.
I grew up poor. I had a harmonica instructor who was just like, we're going to learn how to play the blues.
That's much cooler, though, than...
It was just like, we're going to learn how to play the blues, motherfucker.
You still play the fucking harmonica? You can play
me?
The harmonica?
Oh, my God. No, I don't. I was kidding about the harmonica instructor. But so the Lyric Hyperion Theater, May 8th and 9th, come see me. Also, I want to plug, I have a show. If you guys are in Little Rock, you know, there's got to be some people, or in the surrounding environs, I will be at the Whitewater Tavern this weekend, Friday, April 20th. I am flying Southwest Airlines to get there, folks, the Whitewater Tavern. I'm flying Southwest, and we all know what happened.
Yeah.
On Southwest Airlines, a Wells Fargo – now, this is true. The woman who was sucked out of the window and died was a Wells Fargo executive.
Right.
So it sounds like Southwest is doing things right to me. They're sucking out
– Yeah. Yeah, they're not
– the detritus. No, she might have been a nice woman. Who knows? But the fact that she worked for Wells Fargo – but you have to earn a living, don't you? Don't you?
Fuck that, man. Huh? Fuck that. Are you fucking kidding me? Anyone who works for Wells Fargo should quit. If everyone quit at once.
But who the fuck is working at Monsanto? Never mind what. Monsanto is the most evil corporation on the face of the planet.
They're up there. They're up there.
They're up there, right?
Yeah.
Who else?
They just merged
all
with
the
Bayer.
Oil company, Exxon. Oh. I was trying to think of the
Bank of America.
All Bank the telecommunication America. Companies, you know. Now Facebook is a nice company. I mean, you know, they really Mark Zuckerberg testifying. Oh. You know, he should just be in jail for the amount of freckles he has.
He's
That was a cheap shot, but he's horrible. I mean, he's just such a weird dude, isn't he? He looks so
how did
pale.
But those guys,
God,
like
damn.
All those yuppie fucking tech fucks.
Yuppie fucking tech fucks. Yeah,
they inherited a giant like there was no counterculture for them. They went straight to just fucking the planet and leaving us nothing. Like they never stood up to any, not even for a second. Yeah. Was there any like, you know, we're gonna hold your feet to the fire till you give the poor.
Where is the radical? Where is the radical spirit? Is it in hip hop? Where someone told me it's in hip hop. Where is the radical spirit in the country? There, it's here
in this podcast.
In this podcast,
that's it, man.
No, but I, you know, how old are you?
42.
You're 42. I am 41. you know, I don't lie about my age, and I should, you know, because I am getting really up there, you know.
Yeah.
The way let me just imitate Steve on that one when I said I'm getting really up there. Yeah. Not good. What the subtext of that was?
You're not lying.
You're gonna die.
What about when I said to Eddie, "I think you're gonna have a huge fame. I think your time is coming." He goes, "Yeah, death."
I want to give you the next ad. We have one more ad to read. Well, we have a couple, but here's another one. This is AAA Full Service 2.
AAA is the name for reliable roadside assistance and reasonably priced insurance. Now you can expand your AAA roadside assistance with AAA Full Release, a new program that provides custom comfort during the worst moments of your day. Let one of our grizzled technicians give you a half-hearted hand job.
Hey, come over here. Not only will I fix the battery, but zip down, sir, and sign this.
A half-hearted hand job after replacing your car battery. Have you ever had that guy change your tire after receiving sloppily disenchanted fellatio from a man who's working five jobs just so he can afford a studio apartment in Koreatown? With AAA Full Release, you will. Have a man who hasn't shaved since his daughter's quinceañera explore your clitoris with the same rugged determination that led him to deduce it was Splenda in your gas tank. One of our certified and time-worn technicians will find the mythical G-spot using the same tools that helped him replace a mangled fuel line. With AAA, we promise the most satisfactory roadside assistance and the most apathetic sexual release imaginable for both foreign and domestic. AAA, a name you can thrust.
All right, sir, I finished fellatio. Can you sign this?
Yeah, AAA Full Service, folks, is very good. So please,
that's where the revolutionary spirit is in guys like that. Guys like that, that voice that you did.
Yeah, guys like that.
That's it.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the fuck.
Well, there is, you know, it's just that people don't understand. Like, there's a lot of anger. Like, what is radical political? It's anger that's sublimated or transformed or alchemized into action, but progressive action. And there's too much of the right wing shit. Like these alt right people are just fucking idiot. Like they're angry as hell,
right?
But they're fucking morons,
right? Right. They still
they're
trust
morons. Right. The
they
alt-right.
Have no idea where to put it. They don't know
they,
where.
Well,
to put
they
it.
Attack the wrong people,
right?
You know, they don't come from love. Like I'm angry. No, I'm being serious. Like, I'm super angry, but I have the thread of love because when you're angry and you have the thread of love, that means you care about other people, whereas these motherfuckers just care about their own little tribe or their own little fucking asses. Whereas the people who are angry and have the love thing going on, they care about the society. They care about animals. They care about other people. Whereas these idiots are like, yeah, like a vegan they call soy boy.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This
That's
is an alt-right shit.
Soy boy.
Soy
That's
boy.
Kind of funny.
That's funny.
That
you, funny. You become an alt-right guy.
No.
Hi, guy. No, a lot of them are like these fucking failed comedians. Not a lot of them, but like just shitty comics.
Right.
Who, you know, and anyway, and not a lot of them, but a bunch of them. Like, and anyway, they're just fucking, they don't know. Here it is. They have no fucking education. They have no, this is why there isn't a really good radical movement, is that there's no education. And that's because what we were talking about, like looping back to the college thing, nobody fucking reads classic, you know, either literature. Nobody reads the humanities. Well, so, you know, they don't know where to go.
Well, there's no value. I mean, people aren't raised, like younger generations aren't raised to value. They value, how am I going to make money? They don't value, how am I going to understand how to live with other people? That's not a value. It's not something that. And
they
by the
value
way,
having to make money. They value money, but they don't. You know, you were talking about Judaism and finding that faith. Why that's great is because of the tradition and the historical.
Right.
The historical, not like the collective historical knowledge, you know, of history. People don't do it anymore. Their idea of history is half an hour ago in their Twitter feed.
Right. That's true. That's true. Well, plus these
nobody's reading, you know.
Well, I think more deeply, it's the right wing. The way these right wing cocksuckers see the world is that they actually are reverent to figures of authority.
Yeah.
They are reverent of figures of authority. And if somebody is a figure of authority, they are automatically default to them. Like that, it's almost like manifest destiny. Like you deserve what you have. And if you don't have
because
it.
Because they want it.
Well, they think they're part of it, or they think they're going to be part of it.
Yes.
Right? And the people who don't have it, they didn't deserve it. They're lazy and.
It's a way of looking at the world that justifies the suffering. Because another thing that these people can't do is they can't have compassion. They don't have compassion for people who are suffering. It's like, hey, winner takes all. Winner takes all. And you know what? There's going to be a day when you're not a winner.
No, when they can't drink their fucking water.
Yes.
When their water is poisoned like the people in Flint. And suddenly they're going to go, oh, Nestle, fuck Nestle.
Yeah,
right?
you were talking about that.
They're going to be standing at the gates of Monsanto.
The gates of hell.
Well, we'll all be there. We'll all be there if they take us there. But, you know, I
don't. Yeah, sometimes you do sound like a rabbi.
Fuck off.
No, you do. Like, yes, we'll all be there if they take us to the gates of hell. You should
what
just do it.
Fuck?
You should
just like do an it. Eastern European.
You should just do it with the accent.
Yes. If I was a rich man,
we'll all be at the gates of hell if they take us there.
If I was a rich man.
Oh, don't get me started on Fiddler on the Roof.
That would be fucked up if you got cast in that role.
Or that, or the gay porn movie, Fiddler on the Poof. Did you see that? Yeah,
Fiddler in the Dark.
I like Fiddler on the Poof. We have one more ad, and I'll read it. It's Velveeta. And speaking of politics, Velveeta deodorant political. They say a professional athlete will start sweating just thinking about their sport because their bodies are so in tune with what they do. Likewise, people who can read will often disgorge from just a passing thought of today's political climate. Could you mop the floor with your fear of a decaying democracy? I can. Does seeing the rotting facade of your chosen political party every time you close your eyes fill you with sheets of flop sweat? Velveeta Full Body Deodorant brings you the world's first political strength deodorant. Browse HuffPo in confidence with the security that political clickbait headlines won't give you that, quote, I shower in my clothes look. Read Twitter at work, and while your face will coil into a rictus of shame and horror, your body will be springtime fresh. Whether you voted for Trump because you thought it would be funny and ironic, voted for Hillary because you can't separate the concept of self from any woman you see on television, or you voted for Jill Stein because you were too stoned to write the word Bernie. New political strength Velveeta Full Body Deodorant has you covered. I voted for Jill Stein, by the way.
Me too.
Yeah. People don't like that.
Ah, fuck them. Oh, yeah, my friend, you know.
And thank you, Matt Rassamano, for those commercials.
You lost friends, right? You were saying you lost friends.
Yeah, but I didn't mind losing friends where you're like, oh, I can't lose these people.
Wait a minute.
They're part of the Jewish faith.
You know what the fuck?
They're part of my synagogue.
You know what the most fucked up thing is that that is the most insulting, like disproportionate, the worst impression of anything I did. And it's still, it's so funny
it's
as fuck. Because you're doing it, you fuck, you funny fuck. You can get away with that shit.
I can't afford to lose any friends. Hey, did that guy? I can afford to lose.
You can,
as
clearly.
Many friends as I can. Because you want to lighten your load in this world. And friends.
It's your Buddhism. Your violent Buddhism.
I was just talking about when I go back to New York, I'm going to Woodstock to do the Colony April 29th. It's a Sunday, folks. What better thing to do on a Sunday night? But come up to Woodstock, New York, or if you're already in that area, see Eddie Pepitone get 80% of the door.
Participate. Be part of Eddie Pepitone getting 80%. What time is the show?
Eight.
Eight o'clock on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's a good time.
Yeah.
Right? Get you home in time for what show do people watch? Get you home in time for you to browse the internet.
God. Hey, by the way, how many friends do you have in New York that are trying to get together?
Well, yeah, when I go to New York, all of a sudden, you know, a bunch of friends will say, hey, can we do dinner? Will you do this and that? Which is cool because I don't get to New York that much lately and I haven't been there in a while. And but the thing is that, you know, I'm hanging with my friends in Woodstock and they have a sweet little house and there's a monastery there, not, you know, close by, a Buddhist monastery. And I just want to like pray for
myself. You want to meditate.
I want to pray for myself. I want to pray for myself because I just, you know.
You really do. You're not fucking around. You really want to chill in the monastery for a
couple
days.
You're not fucking around, are you? Because in our faith, we also pray. We pray for everybody.
Matt, we're going to need some rabbinical commercial spots for Eddie to read.
Welcome to the fold. I am Jewish.
I can't believe you don't get voiceover.
My mom is Jewish, so I'm Jewish.
You are Jewish. Mm-hmm. You are. You're a Jew.
Yeah, if your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish.
Yeah,
by
we're
Jewish
both
law.
The same kind of.
But nobody knows that because I grew up so Italian, and my last name is Pepitone, and we embraced the Italian culture, and my dad kept us away from the Jews because my dad, you know, he had a problem with my mom's family. It wasn't because they were Jewish. He just had, you know, the Sicilian vindictive, like, you know what Jaime wants? He wants Evie's money, like all kinds of bullshit like that.
You're a Jew, though, man. You're
right.
Actually, you are a Jew.
Right. That's why I like to, you know, do the horror.
So all your friends, can't you get them together for one fucking get-together and just like...
No.
You can't do that.
Don't you have... Aren't you like this? Like all my friends are very kind of disparate. I could get a few of them together,
yeah, right.
But it's like usually a disparate group, like to put this one with that one.
Yeah.
And that even becomes more stressful because what happens then when you...
You want everybody to have a good time.
You have to then divide yourself and go, oh, I haven't talked to John yet, or I haven't talked to Andrea yet, or I haven't talked to this one yet.
Man.
I haven't talked to this one yet. You know what I mean?
I don't tell anybody I'm coming into town. I tell one guy, and if he wants
Well, you're the type of guy who can sneak in under the radar, like...
I'm not as well known as you. That's what it is.
Don't tell anybody.
I'm coming on Shabbos.
You better not show. You better not cry. You better not doubt. I'm telling you why. Steve Lally called me to Chicago. He knows if you've been eating deep dish. He knows if you've been eating whatever else they eat in Chicago. They eat a lot of beef.
Aurelio's.
It's a slaughterhouse, huh?
That's where my family goes, Aurelio's, every time.
They started the fucking slaughterhouses over there.
Yeah, right. The cat,
when I
cattle.
Was not vegan, I enjoyed eating it.
Oh, by the way, I know why you're vegan.
Why?
Because I've seen the other side of you. I've seen that side of you.
Which side?
That side.
The angry side?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
And that I could see if you're eating fucking animals all the time, that side is very easily accessible.
Yeah, what is it's very interesting. Also being vegan is an interesting thing about animals. Like I am so in tune with animals now. Like recently, my dog told me to kill the people who ride the beeping trucks. Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news, a doggy comedian has been talking to
Eddie Pepitone has murdered
David Berkowitz.
Sanitation workers.
Do you remember Berkowitz, Son of Sam? That was in the 70s in New York where this lunatic said that a dog was telling him to kill people.
You kind of resemble him a little bit, a little bit less hair.
These are not comparisons you want, folks.
No, after the rabbi thing, I had to come back. Hey, listen, man.
We're close to wrapping it up, right, Emma? How long have we been going?
About 49 minutes.
Oh, what? 49
minutes.
Okay, so we're wrapping up in about 5 minutes.
So you had an email from somebody you hadn't seen in years asking you to pray for their pet. Their pet is having a
I don't know what the
fuck
that
was that, dude?
I gave my number. Sometimes I give my number out too much to people I meet. And I gave it out to some, like a young kid. And he puts me on mass emails. And he said, "My mom, pray for my mom. She's having a PET scan today," which I thought was very funny.
Is that for her pet?
I have no idea what it meant. It just sounded like a funny sentence. You know, pray for my mom. She's having a PET scan.
What I was thinking
is that he meant CAT scan.
Oh, and he and typo. That
was, well, typo or, you know, that was his funny way of saying it's a PET scan because CAT scan. And that's his level of humor.
You should never give your – why are you giving your phone numbers to those guys, man? What the fuck? Are you just
– Because
you
I'm know a what? Nice guy.
It's compassion.
Yeah.
It's the compassion.
Yes. But anyway, there is a – you know, we're going to end the podcast with this, that there's a lack of compassion, you know – in capitalist culture, because you know, we were talking beforehand with Michael out here in the ante room about how San Francisco, for instance, is just, you know, it's an unaffordable city now, and LA is becoming more unaffordable. All the big cities, you know, getting bought up by the oligarchs, the wealthy, the techies, or just, you know, businessmen who have billions, and they keep empty apartments in London and New York, and they buy a property all over, and people can't afford. The average person, salt of the earth, like me and you, you know, I mean, you can't even afford a coffee and a tea.
I mean, not if it's
that's in Westwood
$20
Village.
Fucking dollars, man. I can't.
It was $20.
Let me put it this
it
way.
Was, no,
I can afford it once. I can't afford to do it again.
A date with Steve Lonely these days will go like this. Hey, why don't we get a bag of M&Ms and sit on a park bench? Actually,
how
why
about
not?
This? Wait, this is a better negotiation. Mm-hmm. I can take you out for coffee and tea, but you're going to have to sleep with me this time because I can't afford another date after that. So I have to deliver a thunderous leg-shaking orgasm on that date, or otherwise the relationship is over.
Look, by the way, this kind of talk I don't want to be associated with. Steve has not been laid since, I think you said, November.
Yeah.
Oh, Thanksgiving is tough on everybody.
But I had an accident.
He had an accident. He could not hold it in. He was running to his apartment and could not hold it in. And it was videotaped and shot live on Facebook, and it went viral, and people don't want to sleep with him anymore. Anyway, if you want to, thanks for listening to Pep Talks. If you want to leave us a message this week, you may want to do it. 424-262-0904. Come see my one-man show May 8th and 9th at the Lyric Hyperion in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. And also the Colony Theater in Woodstock, April 29th. And I'm going to Little Rock. I'll be at the Whitewater Tavern this weekend, Friday. And Stevie, do you want to promote anything?
No, hell no. Hell no. I don't want to promote anything. I'm afraid people
thanks
are listening.
To Emma for
thanks,
being
Emma.
Here in the studio with us and our producer, Matt Rossomano. And we'll see you next time on Pep Talks, everybody. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
God bless
you. God bless you.
God bless you.